Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read verses 38 through 40 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 38 through 40. If you are able this morning, in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together as you're locating the passage, 1 Samuel 17. As we read the Word of God together this morning, let's begin at verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, but he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this passage that pastors, that you've led him to preach on these few weeks. Lord, I pray that you would bless us today. Help us to hear what you have for us individually. God, work in our hearts, whether it's in this auditorium or through the internet. Whatever it is, Lord, do a work in our lives this morning. And Father, if there's somebody in the room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'll ask now that you keep your Bibles open today and follow along with me, please. We are looking at the account of David and Goliath. Please remember, it is the account of David and Goliath. It's not a story. The story is fictional. This happened. 17-year-old boy stepped out into the valley of Elah. I'm going to show you that valley this morning. I'm going to have a little more visual stuff than we would normally do in a message, but I can't seem to keep your attention any other way, so we'll try this. And I got rocks, so I may throw them at you, so be really careful. He stepped out into the valley of Elah and accepted a challenge. Please listen. Goliath is 9 feet 6 inches tall, a trained soldier from his youth. You have to understand it, 9 foot 6 as a grown man, he was just about 7 feet tall by the time he was 12. But not only that, Goliath was a killer. He was the champion of the army of the Philistines. That means he killed his way through the ranks and stuff of the Philistine army. So he was used to killing people. Hey, not only that, he's standing in the valley of Elah and he's challenging Israel to a battle. And he stands there, the Bible tells us, wearing 125 pounds of brass armor. He throws a spear that has 15-pound head on the spear. And he someone walking before him carrying a huge brass shield. So Goliath is well-equipped. He is covered in metal, and he's a trained killer. When he comes out to the Philistine armies on one side of the valley, as you'll see in a moment, and Israel's on this other side of this little valley and flat spot in the center, a little creek bed runs through it. When Goliath steps out, he delivers his challenge for 40 days and says, give me a man to come and fight with me. And he gives a proviso. If your guy wins, kills me, we'll serve you. If I win and kill him, you have to serve us. So the challenge is not just a one-on-one fight. The challenge is for the battle, but not just that, for the destiny of a nation. For 40 days, Goliath throws this challenge down, and for 40 days, nobody takes it until David, the youngest of 8 sons, shows up to bring some food from home for his brothers. And as soon as he hears the challenge one time, and says, is there not a cause? Someone should go down there and fight that man. He's defying God and he's defying us. Something should be done about it. I like someone who can take a challenge. And it's a boy. 17, 18 years of age. David goes down to fight, but before he does, he spreads the word. And doesn't really spread it. He just says, I'll fight him. Now, David's not a teenage boy shooting his mouth off. He is just simply saying, look, I believe the Lord will have me help do this. So, well, the word spreads to the camp and it gets to the king, Saul. And Saul says, someone's willing to take the challenge, bring him in. Brings him in. There's a kid standing in front of him. Saul says, son, you can't fight this giant. He's a trained soldier from his youth, and you're just a boy, and you're a shepherd. He could tell by what the boy was wearing, his staff, his sling, his shepherd's scrip, and we'll show you those in a moment. And David said, well, sir, see, there came a lion and a bear into the flock while I was tending sheep, and they took one of the sheep and lambs, and I rescued that lamb and killed the lion and the bear. He said, now, sir, the God who helped me do that, he's going to help me take this giant. Saul says, go ahead, son, you go fight him. And then last week's message was Saul put his armor on David, a helmet on David's head, that was Saul's. A coat of mail, which is a breastplate that covered the chest, that was Saul's. And the sword that Saul had, and he said, now you go fight him with my stuff. And the Bible says, as you saw a moment ago in the scripture, that David's essayed to go, which simply means he shifts this armor, and he's trying to figure out what to do. He realizes he can't fight with that, and he said, I've not proved these, they're not mine. Now, the message this morning is what David would use, what worked for David. Well, here this morning I have a couple of items I want to show you. And it says, notice please in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40, and David took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. First thing David took was a shepherd's staff. Now, I know we always think of the shepherd's staff as having a hook on it to lift the sheep, but not all shepherd's staffs were. They were just some very firm piece of wood that they had taken off a limb of a tree. But more importantly than that, when a shepherd chose a staff that they would use, they chose a staff they would use all their life. Just a simple piece of wood. This particular staff was given to me by somebody very precious to me, a very dear man. He and his wife were in our church for over 10 years, the very beginning of our services, the Goads. They moved to Kentucky, and he passed with cancer some years ago. He used to go out walking in the woods and find limbs on trees with a vine that would twist around it and make this design in it. He'd take it back and dig the vine out and then make a staff out of it, a walking stick. Chose him a staff, the Bible says. Well, then look at your Bibles again, please. Verse number 40. And chose him 5 smooth stones. Now, this morning, not only do we have 5 smooth stones for you, we have 5 smooth stones from that very place. It says right here, Elah. The Evans and us were there in Israel a few weeks back. We went to that valley. Put the pictures up, guys. Have you got them? It's an interesting little valley. You see this little dry-looking creek bed right here? That's the only creek bed in this little valley. That must be the very same creek bed where David stood. In fact, there's a little sign that said, David slept here. No, just kidding. He stepped into this little creek bed, picked him up 5 smooth stones. So that's what we did that day. We thought, well, we'll pick up some rocks from the Valley of Elah and bring them back with us. This is the side, there's the other side of the valley. Can you flip it to the next picture, guys? This is the other side of the valley. And it's just a real simple little valley. And the Bible said the Philistines were on one side, and the Israelites were on the other side. Go to the next picture, please. And in the valley was Pastor Johnson and his wife. Go one more. Is that the last one? Look at that look on his face. Giant killer. We picked up rocks out of this little creek bed that was there. But don't leave it on that picture, all right? People just sit there and look at it through the whole thing. 5 smooth stones, the Bible says. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Then it says he put them in a scrip, a pouch. Every shepherd, oh, he put rocks in here. I didn't know that. Every shepherd carried a pouch with him. Had several items inside this little pouch. And he carried that with him, a scrip. And the Bible said he had a sling in his hand. Please don't think of a rubber sling that you used to make when you were a kid. Of course, nobody does that anymore. Everything's video games now. But it was made with leather. Had a simple pouch in it. Shepherds were amazing with their accuracy with this sling. Now, before we get to the message this morning, would you look at what David did know that would work for him? Now, look up at these items today, and this is why I brought them. Question, do these look like giant killers to you? I mean, if you're going to fight a guy covered in 125 pounds of armor, shouldn't you have a sword? At least a sword. And shouldn't you have armor on? I mean, the helmet and the breastplate. I mean, that would make sense. You're not going to fight a 9-foot-6, train-killing person like Goliath with what? With a pocket full of rocks, a sling, a little pouch-looking thing. We would call it a merce nowadays. A little pouch-looking thing and a shepherd's staff. I mean, seriously, are those giant killer items? See, to David, they were because they worked for him. Now, the first thing I want you to get from this morning is this. Because you understand, when we talk about David and Goliath, we're talking about overcome obstacles that seem insurmountable to us. We're talking about how that God used a young man to overcome an insurmountable obstacle that no one thought he could do it. Nobody. But God helped him. And the wonderful thing about the account of David and Goliath is this. We know how it turns out. The boy wins, the giant dies. Victory comes, blessings come. Oh, not only that, but as soon as David kills this giant, he jumps on his chest, he knocks him down with that rock, one rock, all it took, didn't take five, just took one. Knocks him down with a rock, jumped on Goliath's chest, he has no sword to kill him off with, pulls out the Goliath's own sword and whoosh, pops his head off. Then reaches down and grabs that Goliath's head and holds it up and says, hey, I got one. And the children of Israel who are cowering in the bushes now run into the valley. And now victory is won. The destiny of a nation is preserved. And God uses a young boy who, by the way, becomes Israel's greatest king. It's not just about reading about David and Goliath. It's about getting some principles of how can God use you to overcome your greatest obstacles. David does it by himself. He doesn't do it with any support. He's got no support. He does it with things that seem like they're just nothing, but see, to David, they worked. And here's the lesson right off the bat on this whole stuff here. Look at me. This was everyday stuff to David. These are everyday items. Rocks in a stream, pouch that he always carried, sling he always had in his hand, and a shepherd's staff. He wouldn't go anywhere without that shepherd's staff in his hand. Those are everyday items. Do you understand, dear people, this kid is going to be used of God to bring a great victory in his nation, in his life, and to his people with simple everyday things? Here's what we don't think. Well, I mean, Pastor Johnson, I mean, I've got something that's so big. I mean, it's just huge. Pocket full of rocks. Shepherd's staff, a sling. You mean everyday items, just everyday items? And those light poles weren't there when David was there either, by the way. Everyday items? You mean the everyday things of the Christian life can actually have victory with the everyday things of the Christian life? Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, people, we have bought into this thing that whatever's out there in our lives, whatever we face, whatever comes our way in life is so much greater than just something as simple as the staff. You know what the staff represents in the Bible? It represents something that David leaned on. When we were over in Africa, in Kenya, we saw the Maasai people, and they tend their sheep and their animals out in the very bush and area where lions live. We didn't see one Maasai with a weapon on him, a gun, a rifle. They had a knife. Every one of them had one of these things. And you'd see them standing out there for hours, and they would just lean on their staff. It became a support and a help to them. Hey, look at me. It's what held them up, you see. That's what the shepherd's staff was more than anything else. It was just with them when they stood for hours to watch their sheep. They could shift their weight and change from one foot to the other and enable them on a day-by-day thing just to do what they did. You know what the shepherd's staff is, Christian? Faith. Not faith in something. Faith in God. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, come on. You're going to tell me that a great obstacle, insurmountable obstacle in my life could be overcome simply by faith? I think it says that somewhere in the Bible. Let me show you. Hold your place. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Turn there very quickly now. Hebrews chapter 11. I don't want to keep you from hometown buffet any later than I have to. So Hebrews chapter 11, please. Turn there. Turn in your Bibles. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. That's, of course, in your New Testament, right before the book of James, in the back part of your New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, please. And look with me at this great passage of the so-called Hebrews Hall of Faith. What these people did by faith. Hebrews 11, and look at verse 33. Hebrews 11, 33. After, by the way, this is after he talks about how Noah built an ark by faith. Now, he didn't just stand there and believe it and it showed up. Noah got busy. He did something with the faith he had, and we'll come back to that later on. But now listen carefully. By faith, Noah built the ark. When God told Noah, build an ark, it had never rained before. He'd never seen a flood. And he builds an ark to preserve himself and his family and anybody else who was smart enough to get in it. But by faith, it worked. And Noah was right, wasn't he? By faith, Abraham was told when he was 80 years old, he's going to have a son. And when he was at 90, he would have a son. And that when he was 100, he had the first son. 100's not where you start childbearing. Sarah was 90, had never had a baby. But by faith, God gave him a child. Don't 90-year-olds start praying for a child. But the truth is, that's amazing. Well, that was amazing what God did. Then look at verse 33. Who through faith, watch this, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all have obtained a good report through what, church? Through faith, received not the promise, having God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. That sounds like a list of pretty good accomplishments, from subduing kingdoms to seeing people raised from the dead through faith. See, we think that's just a nothing. That's just a stick. The world looks at us and goes, yeah, well, you got to believe in something. No. Look here. Is it what holds you up? Is that how you get there? Is that how you make it day by day in your life? Your confidence, your faith in the God of heaven to help you and to intercede on your behalf. Is that how it works with you? Is your faith, I'm going to say, well, you got to have a crutch. Okay, thank you very much. It's my crutch. No problem with that. I have no complaints about having a crutch. And God is my crutch. Faith in God is my crutch. Dependence upon the Lord is my crutch. I acknowledge that totally. Everybody's got a crutch. It just depends on whether or not you lean on something that won't hold you up. But I've got someone who does. Faith. You approach God by faith. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. By faith, we understand how the worlds were framed. By faith. We don't have to believe we go to the zoo and throw peanuts to our relatives. By faith. We know God made the world, created everything in 6 days, finished on the seventh, not because he was tired, because he was finished. By faith. And I'm not waiting on science to prove it. I know what the Bible tells me. It holds me up. It gives me strength. It gives me answers. It gives me confidence. It gives me encouragement. It gives me the ability to step out day by day because I know that God is out ahead of me. You know why? Because the Bible says so. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And hey, friend, look at me. See this thing right here? Yeah, that's right. This is my staff of faith in my God. You have that this morning? Well, first of all, he needs to be your God. Well, he's everybody's God. No, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. To know him is a step of faith. You have to trust Christ. You have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, paid for your sins, went to the grave, rose again 3 days later. And by faith, you must trust that payment. And in repentance, you turn to Christ, accepting him alone as your Savior and trusting only Christ to save you. You ask him to do so, and by faith, God saves you, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, faith. I know the world looks at it and says, well, yeah, I suppose you got to believe in something. See, but I'm into reality. Really? Have you seen what the world calls reality? They put a camera in a house and watch about 12 losers live for about 6 months or whatever it is and live a loser's life. I don't know what it is. I don't watch it because I don't watch reality television. Hey, the ministry is more reality than you can shake a stick at. Trust me. The truth is, big deal. Like what? And that's reality? That is reality? Reality is a bunch of people living in the jungle acting like animals? That's a reality thing? Excuse me? I'll tell you what reality is. Reality is, by the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You trust him by faith, step out by faith, do what he tells you by faith, and you'll find a God who takes it further than you could possibly imagine. I know it doesn't sound like much to some people, but I'll take faith in him. Then there's five smooth stones. Back to 1 Samuel 17:40, please. Why five? He only used one. But to go to 2 Samuel sometime, chapter 22, I believe it is, Goliath had either four sons or four relatives that were all killed by the armies of Israel. So maybe David knew about the five of them and was going to take five stones in case there was four to back them up and Goliath and get them all while he was at it. I don't know. I know he took five smooth stones, the Bible says. And those five smooth stones he took, he put in his crib and took it with him. Stones. Does that look like a killer? Say, well, if you hit someone just right. Yeah, he has to hit Goliath just right. He's covered in 125 pounds of brass armor. So he can't just wing him. He's got to hit him in a vital place to take him down. So does that look like a giant killer? I mean, and he's going to get, and when David loads that thing up in his sling, and goes after Goliath. He runs right up to him. He's got one shot. That's it. He's going to risk it all on, well, no, not the rock. He's going to risk it all on, oh, I don't know, maybe his prayer life. Say, oh, well, Pastor Johnson, of course, you know, we need to pray. Nah, we don't need to pray. We have to pray. See, we've got this goofy idea that somehow or another, well, I pray, you know, Pastor Johnson, I pray, and I spend some time with the Lord. That doesn't sound like a rock you're really depending on too much to me. Sound like something you do when you need to. Oh, yeah, boy, when I'm in trouble, I pray. Oh, you got one of those kind of rocks. When I need it, rock. You see, David's going to risk everything in his life on that rock being accurate and God making it go where it's supposed to go. How does he do that? Well, I suppose when he's out there in the fields with the shepherd and shepherding the sheep and things, you know, you read those psalms about David. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. By the way, did you know that chronologically speaking, the psalm, the great 23rd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd psalm, they believe David wrote it either just before or just after David and Goliath. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Five smooth stones. Oh, let's see. Prayer. Bible. Well, I got one. Good. Good. You own one or does it own you? Which one is it? Huh? Do you possess it or does it possess you? Do you use it or does it tell you how to live your life? Stone number two. Bible. That's a good one. Then, of course, there's the stone of simple obedience to God. Bible doesn't do any good if it's not lived. You got to put that into practice. Then there's the great stones God gave us of family and church. I know some people treat their family like it's just something that's there. No, that God gave us that first, you understand. First. That's the foundation of our society, our family. Mom, dad, family, that kind of stuff. And yes, my friend, do you have a good local New Testament church in your life? Say, well, you say that because you're a pastor. Are you picking up on that? Good. No, I say that because I believed that before I was a pastor. Excuse me, I've been pastoring the church for 33 years, but I've been going to church for 45 some odd years. I believe in it. I don't think the church saves anybody. Nobody. This church, nobody else's church. But I tell you something, my friend. A local New Testament church will help you tremendously. All you got to do is go back to Hebrews chapter 10, one chapter back from 11, and you'll see the importance that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And that kind of covers that I don't have to go to church thing. It really does kind of cover a lot of stuff. Now look at me. You take those five smooth stones. They don't sound like, okay, right. Prayer, Bible, obedience, church, family, and church. Okay, what else? What do you mean, what else? That's pretty good weaponry right there. Yeah, but I already do all that. You do it, or is it a part of you? Because you see, that's what this is for, the script. It was a pouch. Now, what is the point of the pouch? Hold the rocks and keep it close to you. When you run out of giants, you don't want to go looking for a rock. Okay, hold on, sir. Just a minute. I dropped my rock. Hold still. Stand right there. Don't move. I got to find me a rock. No. See, you run into battle, and I can't put this around my waist because it's not long enough. Yeah, you got to run into battle. You reach in. You pull out the rock. You got it. You know what the script is, don't you? Huh? That's keeping things in their place. You mean like priorities? Oh, yeah, like priorities. Huh? You're going to conquer Goliath, you got to have right priorities. What good does it do? Look here. What good does it do if you have right priorities but you don't have them in the right place? And I'm sorry, soccer on Sunday is not a priority. Last Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday. Well, that was just like one Sunday out of the year. What's the big stinking deal? How come there's always something else on the next Sunday? And the next Sunday. And the next Sunday. There's always something else. If it's not weather, then it's this. If it's not that. See, there's no order of priority by which we live. And then we wonder why we're getting facing a giant of our life and an obstacle that seems insurmountable. And we have no equipment to do this with. We have no ammunition to fight this giant with because we have no priority. We got priority on everything else. We put job over home and family and life. You got to have a job to take care of your family. Please listen to that. You got to have a job to take care of your family. You got to do that. We got to take care of our own. Yes, but that's not the priority. The priority is not to let something get between me and my God. How much time did you spend in prayer this week? If we measured it, if you get a prayer journal they talk about, and you get a journal of prayer and write down your prayer requests, how about logging your prayer time? How much time you spend in prayer and how much time you sit in front of a stupid telephone checking your fantasy football page or looking up your imaginary friends on your Facebook page. How much time? Is this working? All right, I'm just checking. How much time? How much time sitting in front of a television set? How much time? How much time did you spend with your little hobbies and your doodad thingamajigs? How much time? You see the priority of life, putting things in their place. You can have all the rocks you want. They do you no good if you don't have them when you need them. And you got to have them in their place. So in their place, you'll be ready to use them when the time comes. And then, of course, you have this sling. Now, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, I'm going to load a rock up here. I practiced. I killed 4 people this week trying this thing. Look, does that look like a giant killer to you? David's going to run at the giant. He didn't walk. He didn't hide behind the rocks and go, whoo, didn't do one of those numbers. He didn't say, look, a cockroach, and threw a rock at him. He didn't do that. He loaded that rock in his sling, and the Bible said he ran toward the giant. He runs right at him, and he's got to get close enough to where he can do some serious damage with that rock. Do you understand what this guy's risking everything on this moment right here? Everything, his life. The destiny of his nation. That's big stuff now. And a sling, well, as simply as you could put it, a sling launches the rocks. So you see, you can have the right equipment. You can even have the right kind of rocks. But if you don't use them, it doesn't really do you a lot of good. Some people think, well, these slings, you know, they weren't that much. Truthfully, you can kill an animal with one of these things. You can kill a human being if you hit them right. I forgot what the feet per second is for our ammunition guys. I forgot what the feet per second is, but it's incredible what they can load up with one of these things. But you understand, if he looked at Goliath and said, got one of these, I don't think that would have scared him. 125 pounds of armor covered in metal. I don't think he said, oh, kid, don't come at me, please. I don't think it would have made any difference to him. He could show him that. He could say, I got rocks, 2 of my rocks right here, watch this. He could have done all that he wanted to. Would have done him no good whatsoever. till he put a rock in that sling, and then David loaded that thing up and he threw it. When he launched it, when he put it into use, then it left David's hand and directed by God to where it had to go. You can't tell me that wasn't Holy Spirit, God directed GPS that put that rock between those that giant's eyes, and down he went. Sure it was. But you see, God was waiting for David to launch it and see it work. Don't you understand this morning, my friend? Listen to me. Don't you get the picture? If you don't use this stuff of prayer and Bible and obedience and family and church, if you don't use these things, they're not effective. You go to church and say, yeah, I'm supposed to do all that kind of stuff, but I'm not going to do that. Well, then your rock, you might as well have a pocket full of rocks. What's the big deal? And he runs at the giant, and he loads that rock up, and he lets it go. And it hits him, and down he goes. Everybody on both sides of the valley is one of these. 9'6", one rock, and he's down. Then he jumps on his chest, pulls out Goliath's own sword, pops his head off. Says he slew the giant. He didn't go, here we go, stuck you. No. Popped his head off, cut his head off, killed him. Amazing. You know why, dear people? Because David had something in his life that worked. Do you? Oh, yeah, I got backup. I got a crew. I got a posse. I got whatever. Fascinating. Still working for you? Is it going to hold you up? Is it going to make effective what needs to be done? Friend, look at me now. What worked for David still worked for us. You know that? That faith in God thing, that still works, you know. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.